Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. Hear now the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, excuse me, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shalt this sign be. And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet to do so, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away and treat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. In the first portion, then, we have the curse of the frogs. Oh, some of you may like to have a frog or two around, but to have them in your beds and in your kneading troughs, and you open up the cupboard door and there they are, and you open up the drawer where the plates are and there they are, and you go to where the you go to do your laundry and they're in the washer, and you go to dry the laundry and they're in the dryer, and you go to throw one away and the trash can's full of them, and they're everywhere. That might not be such a great thing. Frogs are kind of, slimy critters, dirty animals, and they were abominable to the Egyptians, as they ought to have been. They're abominable to us. Well, the Lord is bringing forth His armies to slay, to destroy the greatest nation on the face of the earth. He has a very small but very effective army. Frogs, lice, flies, hail, locusts, darkness, and so on. And that's how the Lord defeats the greatest nations on the face of the earth. We have seen how the Lord has afflicted our nation with wind, simply wind, and has brought certain portions of our country to their very knees. How has, in that same stroke, sorely affected our entire economy as a nation. We've seen how the Lord's small army works, even in our day. And so here in this day, we see the rebellion and hard heart of Pharaoh and how the Lord pursues for His glory in the midst of a wicked and perverse nation. So while the frogs are a loathsome animal in general, they would have been so to the Egyptians, so that this plague is all the more odious. We also notice that in order to render Pharaoh base in the eyes of his own counselor and to properly separate him from the prophet, he's not addressed by Moses directly, but through Aaron. This caused much consternation to Pharaoh, no doubt. But also in the plagues in general, that the Lord chooses the base things of the world to confound the wise. There was no army invading Egypt, not even a fierce army of predators, which might have been admired. It might have inspired some respect had the plague been a pack of marauding lions. But the Lord chooses a base and stinky animal, hordes of them, to show that He is able to overcome with the basest of means. A frog is a contemptible thing, a fly and lice as well, and not a mighty enemy. But in the hands of God, they are a force, a power, an enemy that overcomes the strongest nation on the face of the earth. So then Pharaoh is given space to repent, but remains stubborn in his rebellion. Although his answer is not recorded, it seems to be in the negative. The people are not yet released, and the plague is sent upon the land. The plague is severe. The frogs are in the houses, in the bedrooms, in the beds. They turn back the covers and they're there. They fluff their pillows and they're there. They go in the closet to find their jammies and they're there. They're everywhere. Certainly the hand of God, and not explainable by any natural means. They are in the food stores, in the kitchens. No place, no house that is spared, including Pharaoh's. What do you think Pharaoh did when he saw the frogs? He set his servants, no doubt, it's not recorded, but it is my conjecture, that he set his servants right away to get those things out of my house. And the more they shoveled them out, the more came in. Pharaoh was unable to rid himself of that plague sent by the hand of God. And so, as before, the magicians of Pharaoh imitate the plague. Imagine that. Rather than turn to the Lord, the court of Pharaoh would rather enjoy more frogs. Guys, stop helping us. This is typical of those who will not bow the knee to Christ. They would rather have plagues intensified upon them than swear allegiance to Christ. But also notice the folly. The magicians ought to have been tasked to lessen or eliminate the plagues. They were not able to do this. So rather than admit their impotence, through some trick, they said, look, we're able to do the same. We can make frogs too. You know, there was a guy that used to stand up in front of people for comic relief, and he'd say, you know, skiing. Well, that's a strange sport. Put sleds on your feet and go down the hill. Go up the hill, that would be the sport. Right? Well, here's the same thing. Right? I mean, if you really want to help, don't make more frogs, make them less. But they can't. They cannot stay in the hand of God, no matter how clever or how much the trickster they are. We also see some movement in Pharaoh. Although he's not willing to bow to the Lord, he is forced to acknowledge Him. You remember, before he said, who is the Lord? Now he says, entreat the Lord for me. So even Pharaoh is brought to some sort of realization that he must have some entreaty to the Lord. Moses tells Pharaoh to pick the time of the frog's departure. Moses says, you yourself tell me when I ought to ask the Lord to remove the plague. This is for the following purpose, so that Pharaoh would know that it was only at the supplication of his prophet that he would be entreated, so that Pharaoh would have no naturalistic interpretation as to why they left. So why does Pharaoh pick the next day? Why not? Man, get him out of here now. Why not? Well, I don't know. Perhaps because he secretly hoped the plague would abate before the time appointed. Perhaps because he was under the secret influence of the Lord in order to show the principle that people are much too willing to hang on to their sin rather than turn immediately to the Lord. Or perhaps, as Calvin thinks, the word tomorrow relates to the letting of the people go when Pharaoh said tomorrow. And so Moses said, okay, then tomorrow the frogs will go. That's Calvin's view. So that in order to show that these were not mere phantasms but real frogs, they're gathered into buckets, omers. And they stink, being dead. Note that the removing of a plague is often as repugnant as the plague itself. The effects of sin are often as bad or worse than the sin itself. This is the added encouragement to stay away from sin, because sometimes, if we remain in obedience, we need not suffer through repentance. When the plague of the frogs is done away with, the land stinks. In other words, sometimes the cure is as difficult as the disease. Sometimes repentance from sin is as hard, is as difficult, is as arduous as the hard taskmaster that sin was when you were in bondage. Note the effect, though, that as soon as the frog is gone, so is Pharaoh's zeal to obey. And this is a general principle in Scripture. People are very willing to repent while they're under straits. But when they're riding on the high places of the earth, or when the difficulty is gone, well then, so is the forwardness to repent. All right, so then in the next section, verses 16 through 19, the next plague is as grievous as the former. The lice or biting gnats are ubiquitous, sparing no family or animal. These insects are said to have an irritating bite. They come forth of the land, the other blessed possession of the Egyptians. Right? The other thing that the Egyptians had, that they had their Nile and they had their great farms, their land. They were not shepherds, they were agriculturalists. And so, then up from the land come the lice. So the Lord strikes against their religion once again. But the magicians are unable to duplicate this plague. They say, this is the hand of God. Pharaoh doesn't even listen to them. His heart is so hardened by this time, He doesn't care. He doesn't care if they can do it or not. In fact, there may be some secret relief in Pharaoh. Oh, you mean you can't multiply this plague? Fancy that. So then, Pharaoh's heart is hardened yet more. And so, we do not see the magicians turn to the Lord either, even though they say, this is the finger of God. And then finally, in the last section, the flies. The flies were sent to render Egypt odious to the eyes of the people of Israel. These are known as the dog flies. They're an assorted mixture. It's a grievous plague in which the bodies of man and beast are covered with them. When you wake up, they're in your eyes. They're in your ears. They're in your nose. They're covering your body. You're going to have nightmares, right? The half-hearted obedience of Pharaoh is in reality no obedience at all in this last section. He arrogates to himself the authority to modify or to change the command of God. This is rank folly. Do not think that the Lord will allow His commands to be changed. Right? He says, okay, you can go, but you know, don't go very far. Just do that. Humor me here. Like saying to the Lord, humor me a little. Of course, that doesn't work with the Lord. It's a half-hearted obedience, which is no obedience at all. So the people of God, if the people of God compromise with the world, they will be despised by the world. If we allow the world to dictate the terms of our religion, they will want entire authority and will demand submission of us at the point of death. What if the reformers that we have studied in the past had compromised? Well, there would have been no reformation. There would have been no progress in reformation because the powers that ruled would have demanded total submission had they been given any submission at all. When Latimer and Ridley stood on the stake and refused to recant to the gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, what if they had? You see, there can be no half-hearted obedience. Once we give up to the world and allow them to dictate the terms of our faith, to dictate the terms of our obedience, even in half measures, we've lost the whole. We must stay true to what the Lord has commanded without admixture or weakening or retrogression. And so in these three plagues then, we see a progress of judgment against Pharaoh. We see Pharaoh's heart being hardened throughout. We see Pharaoh, although weakening, yet not weakening to the point where he is willing to obey the Lord. Rather, he is still willing to dictate terms to the Lord, which is not obedience. In the struggle that is antithetical in our society, in the world in general, in history, we must not be satisfied with half victories, which are no victories at all. What if Moses would have stopped here with Pharaoh and said, you see, Pharaoh has come along some. What the Lord required of Pharaoh was to release His people that they may sacrifice to Him. The Lord raised the terms. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart because the Lord was pursuing His greater glory, which is what we must do. We must not back down. We must not compromise. And as I said in the last reading, bring people in upon the raft of allowing them to dictate the terms. They must not come into the church and dictate the terms, and we're so happy that they're there, we let them. That half-hearted kind of obedience is no obedience at all. It's certainly not the faith of our fathers who stood in the face of dire persecution, refusing to compromise one whit. And when they did, so repented of that publicly that all were clear. You remember when Archbishop Cranmer was finally put to the stake, that he stretched forth his right hand and placed it into the fire before the rest because they had exacted a recantation of the Reformed faith from him under Mary. And so he said, this wicked hand shall be the first. So that he might make known that there was no such thing as successful compromise with the ways and means of God. So, thus ends the reading then in Exodus chapter 8. Let's stand and continue calling upon the Lord in the singing of psalms.